980 WCAP, Saturday Morning Live. We have Drake at Selectman Tony Chair. Drake at Selectman Chair, Tony Archinsky.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Drake at Select Woman, Kathy Richardson.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Morning. And you guys are stuck with me this morning.
You are so PC. Chairperson. Chairwoman.
What can I tell you? You know?
You little people.
So this is not going to be a debate. It's just going to be a discussion. You're both candidates for re-election. Tony, this is your second time?
Yes, I'm just finishing up my rookie season, my first term on the board, and just completed my the last past year as chairman of the board.
And Kathy, for you?
So I've been there since 2010. I was chairman for 3 years out of the six, so this will be going into my third term.
Okay, so I'm going to start with a couple of hard questions for you both, and then I'm sure Sean's going to have some. So I'm going to start first with Kathy. Kathy, the last year has been some challenges for you that have been very public in the newspaper and all over social media. Do you think that's going to hurt, and what would you like to say to the voters about that?
Well, what I'm going to say is that those kinds of personal issues have no bearing on my job as your selectman. I've done my job as your selectman every day. I think it's been very apparent that I've worked tirelessly and aggressively against the Kinder Morgan Tennessee Gas Pipeline for our residents. I've worked tirelessly and aggressively regarding different things that we can do for tax structures and different things we can do to save the money for the residents. So I think it's very clear that despite things that happen in all of our personal lives, and, you know, given that some of my personal issues have been more public this year, I have not stopped doing my job, nor do I intend to.
Tony.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I'm going to take a softball question from Sean.
Sorry, pal. See, the one thing about sitting on this side is I can control his mic and he shut it off if I have to. So, the question for you is, you know, being a former police officer, being employed by the union that also represents the police officers, some people feel it is a conflict for you to vote on anything related with the police at all. How do you address the citizens on that topic?
Well, you know, it's funny, Jerry, because I get this question all the time. This was an issue 3 years ago when I ran. I've just completed 3 years as a selectman. And there are some things that I do have to recuse myself from. Anything that would be considered negotiations with the unions. But I can tell you that as recently as this week, anything that I do relative to the police department, any opinion that I have, anything that even appears to be a conflict of interest, I always check with the Ethics Commission. You know, people will always say, well, he can't do this or he can't think that, or, you know, he can't comment on the police, anything that happens to the police department, which is not true. There are many things that I can comment on. I've even received permission from the Ethics Commission to actually sit on the Police Public Safety Committee, subcommittee from the Board of Selectmen, which I've chosen not to do just because I don't even want to present the appearance of a conflict of interest.
So will you be participating in the executive session this week having to do with the grievances?
Yes, I will go there because I really don't know what it's all about at this point. Whether I have to recuse myself or not, we'll see.
You can just do that, and it'll be in the minutes of the meeting afterwards.
Right, and then there are other things relative to the police department. There is talk that there'll be an article on town meeting relative to taking the police chief's job out of civil service, and I'm currently checking with the Ethics Commission if I can opine on that, which I do believe that I can, because we do not, the company that I work for does not represent the chief or the deputy chief.
You have opined on that. Didn't I read it already in the newspaper?
What's that?
Your opinion on that?
On what?
On removing the chief from...
I'm not talking about opining. I'm talking about actually participating in the conversation and actually, the Board of Selectmen will make a recommendation to town meeting on whether we're for or against the article.
All right. Well, on that subject, Kathy, have you made an opinion? Do you have an opinion whether they should take it out of civil service?
We did actually talk about that at the candidates' night Thursday night. And from my perspective, most of the information that I have would lean me towards saying, yes, take it out of civil service. I think it gives us a bigger pool of candidates to look from. There are people that are pro-civil service, and I haven't heard from those people specifically, and I would like to hear before I make my decision. But most of the information I have relative to that would lean me towards taking it out, and it certainly was the recommendation of the most recent risk assessment that we did for the police department. We're currently doing it for the fire department. So, you know, that recommendation was to move that. And it sounds like across the Commonwealth, that's been the practice, is to move it out of civil service.
Well, I know both of them, police and fire, have been removed from civil service here in Lowell.
Yeah.
The police a few years ago, fire more recently in the last year, I believe. So it is becoming more of a common practice.
I think when, I think even, Sean, you might remember too, I think it was under 100 towns are left with those in civil service,
yes,
out of the 350,
true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
so most of the towns
trend
are moving away from this because they prefer professional management, as we tend to talk about more in Drake.
I like when Tim comes in and pushes buttons behind me.
It's what Timmy does.
It's very good. It's, yeah. You got anything, Sean?
Oh, yeah. Let's start with saving and expenses. Colin Gary was involved in a bill this week looking to cut back on sick time and vacation buybacks for at the higher ed. And there's been some people asking me in town about our contracts with our people. I know the schools have reduced buyback on future contracts. What about on the town side? And what we have seen is the number of days seem to be going down, but the per diem that they're getting seems to be going up. And can you speak to that, Tony?
Yeah, sure. I think as far as the unions are concerned, you know, it has been an ongoing effort all the way back to Dennis Peendick to reduce the benefits in the contracts under the auspices of the Board of Selectmen. You know, that has been the goal of all of us to start paring down some of these, you know, these golden parachutes. And it's been my, I've looked at a lot of the contracts just as being a union guy. And to me, it's actually the non-union people are the ones that have the biggest parachutes because the unions, you know, every time you go in, it's a give-and-take process with negotiations. So most of our union people have negotiated their benefits down. Our new town manager, his contract looks nothing like our former town manager's. He will not get a golden parachute, and we were sure of that. Kathy was part of that negotiations. Mm-hmm. So I'll let Kathy speak.
And that's where we're going next.
Yeah, no, that definitely was a huge factor when we negotiated with Mr. Duggan. And Tony remembers, and you know, my issues have always been that we need to start peeling down some of those benefits, and I've talked about that for the 6 years I've been on the board. So, you know, some of the things that I think it should happen, and Tony will laugh when we talk about this, was the whole car issue. And remember I talked about the fact that I don't think someone who's making $140,000 or $50,000 needs a car on my dime or the taxpayer's dime. And, you know, that was always a bone of contention. And I think there's maybe mileage that can get reimbursed for outside of town travel. But, you know, some of these benefits that we've almost become, they almost feel entitled to as they come into these positions, I think the taxpayers need to be able to have a voice to say, no, that's not appropriate. You know, when you're making that kind of money, you know, there are things that you can do on your own that don't necessarily have to cost us, the taxpayers, the money.
All right, you're looking at a override, two overrides, or two questions, but basically an override. But as selectmen, and I'll ask you in the last, and I'll just make it a broad 10-year. In the last 10 years, what have the selectmen done to try to minimize or reduce costs so that an override would not be needed?
Well, first of all, the selectmen oversee the town manager, who is the day-to-day operational manager. So, I mean, a lot of the things that he does from conversations that he has with us or directives that he gets from us, that, you know, on the board. So, the way I look at it, and I sat on the joint budget, not only did I appoint the joint budget task force, but I sat on it for 15 separate meetings, a couple hours per week. And I think I spent most of my summer thinking about budgetary numbers. And I'm not a budget person per se. I tell people that I sometimes feel like walking out of those meetings, I had Brillo pads in my head. That's how cut and dry it was. As far as we have negotiated all of the contracts to the bare minimum, but the bottom line is that I don't think anybody will deny the fact that anybody that works for the town, especially at the town hall and the police and fire, everybody wears two or three or four hats. You know, we have cut down as far as we can go. I don't see where there's any more wiggle room. Now is there is there any excess still there? I don't know. I don't think there is. Even with the override coming up, looking for police and fire. Now I can speak to the police issue. They're asking for six police officers. We need 10. And I will go on. I'm sure that there'll be more questions
about that.
I think at least in my 3 years, we everything that the Board of Selectmen does and everything that we've done over the past 3 years has been with an eye towards cutting costs.
Yeah. Kathy?
Yeah, I would agree with Tony. I think that, certainly in the 6 years that I've been there, that's been one of our issues ongoingly. The fact that the fire and police need more staffing and that the schools are requesting more funds, this is not a new issue. This has been ongoing for, at least a decade, if not more. Now, I think, part of the problem that we run into in town is that there was a period of time where municipal employees were paid less than sort of the private sector, and so the trade-off was that then they get more benefits, right? But that isn't the case anymore. That scenario doesn't play out in reality. And so things that we've done, let me just give you a few examples, too. And, Tony, remind me if I'm missing any. But we went into municipal aggregation for the electricity. That's a huge savings for us. We've looked at joining, the Chelmsford, the solar plant through Chelmsford, the solar energy abilities through our partnership with Chelmsford. We've done the automated recycling and the trash programs. That saved us a bunch of money. There's still work to be done in that, but that's a huge factor. We've consolidated all the town buildings into the new town hall. We have, when the cemetery commissioner retired, we put that job under DPW. We've tried to really work towards consolidating in every area that we can. So aside from the contracting that we're trying to peel back, we're also looking at other ways to consolidate services in town, like the ones I just mentioned. So those have always been issues that we've been trying to look at the board, certainly during my tenure. And I think what I talked about at the candidates night is that the override, and I think we're going to probably talk about this too, but the override is a solution, but it's not the only solution. And I don't want people to be lulled into the sense that the difficult questions are not going to come whether the override is passed or not, because they are. The reality is that the system that was set up in the 70s and the 80s and the early 90s, when there was money, money sort of flowing and there was milk and honey everywhere, that's when these sort of golden parachute contracts were established. That's not sustainable. And we see that on the national level. We see that on the state level. And certainly every municipality in the Commonwealth is struggling. So we have to look at much bigger and global, challenged solutions, right? So, I mentioned things like pension. I mentioned things like insurance. And I have to be careful because, when I asked questions about the high school renovation project, I became the selectman that hated kids in schools, yeah. Right? When I suggested a moratorium about building so we can revisit the master plan, I became the selectman that hates families, right? And then when I mentioned looking at outsourcing cafeteria workers, then I hate all cafeteria workers. So I have to be careful. I'm not after anyone, and I want to make sure my town employees understand I am not after anyone's pension or health insurance. But everything has to be on the table. There has to be very difficult conversations. And I think, actively going after COPS grants, actively looking at ways to do things besides the override, whether it's reclassification of debt, bringing that $600,000 or $700,000 that was left on the town hall back into a debt exclusion, putting that $700,000 back into the budget. That's our override. We don't need the override. There are many, many, many things that we can do. There are many tools in the toolbox that we can use besides the override, and are much more long-term solutions. But and we'll probably talk about the override separately. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, I want to assure the residents that whether I'm returned to the board or not, all the hard questions are going to be asked, and I am more than willing to go back to the board and ask those questions, as I have shown in the past 6 years. I ask a lot of questions, sometimes to people's dismay when I ruffle feathers a little bit. But the reality is all those questions have to be asked. Our current system, statewide, nationally, and certainly on a municipal level, are not sustainable. They just are not.
I mean, former Senator Steve Panagiotakis, as he was leaving, said that, you know, the private can no longer afford the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we're starting, we're, like you said, with the strain, especially on of health insurance, yeah. on the all the municipalities.
Yeah.
Just want to follow
yeah.
up one thing. You mentioned the electrical aggregation.
Mm-hmm.
Does that actually save the town, or is it just the residents? Because here in Lowell, the city itself can't be part of it because their electrical use is too big. So
it actually is both. And the reason is we had gone into, prior to this most recent municipal aggregation, we had gone into an agreement with Chelmsford. So through the electricity is coming through Chelmsford. I'm not sure exactly. I would have to look back at my minutes and my notes exactly as to how that works. But we did save some even prior. So 2 years ago, we had this discussion, and most recently. So there have been savings on both levels.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Sean?
I got a choice, but I'm going to go with this one first because we were talking about him. We brought a new manager in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And over on the school side, when we review the schools, the state gives us reviews every year, report cards. Each school has an improvement plan that's based on goals and incentives. How do we measure the success of this manager, and how do we know if the town municipal side is doing well on what its goals are supposed to be, and how do we even say what the goals are?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, Kathy, you first.
So I think there's two things. One is that I had asked for having the town manager's review, and that was Dennis did have reviews, but he was there for 27 years, and so those tend to get lost in the shuffle, right? And, you know, people get used to sort of a routine, and Dennis, I think, because of his experience, because of his knowledge, the review process was somewhat lax, right? So with Jim, we started, I asked Tony to make sure we got it on the agenda, and we did do a review, and I think Tony, you know, looked at different options, and we picked a format that we thought was well-suited to Drake it. So we did do that. There's it was in the newspaper. There's a numerical scale that he falls in and out of between 1 and 4 or 0 and 4. So that's part of it. The other is, and we actually talked about this at Candidates Night, is the overall master plan. So the overall master plan, when we were going through the charter review, I don't know if you remember all that, when that was happening, and I was the chairman during parts of that, when we were reviewing the charter, and actually Tony came on board mm-hmm. sort of mid-stride of the charter review. We talked to the Collins Center about doing an overall master plan, and we've had this conversation with Northern Middlesex Council of Governments, on which I sit as well for Drake It. The problem with doing an overall master plan overhaul is it's expensive. It's $50,000, $40,000. It's a lot of money. And, you know, at that point, that wasn't within our budget plan. So what we've been doing is doing through the grants that we get through Northern Middlesex Council Government's pieces of the master plan. So the affordable housing we've done. And, you know, those are all projectory studies, you know, the things that project our growth, our rates of industry, our rates of residential growth, our school growth. So we've done affordable housing, we've done economic development, we've done open space, we've done historic, we have done, there's one other one. But there's about 8 specific sections of a master plan. So we are working on that. And, you know, ultimately then the Zoning Bylaws Committee would convene once all the pieces are put together. There is a Zoning Bylaws Review Subcommittee, which I sit on, and we do, right before the town meetings, oftentimes have, for instance, with the medical marijuana, we had to come up with a zoning bylaw mm-hmm. for that. We do meet with that, but the Zoning Bylaw Committee ultimately would look at all those segments of the master plan and then look to make sure our zoning bylaws would then reflect the master plan's goals. But it's a timely process.
So, Tony.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that Kathy left out is our day-to-day interaction with the town manager. I mean, that, you know, that's how I judge how well he's doing. You know, we hired him because he had a strong economic development background. He's out there every day, hitting the pavement and talking to different businesses. He's working on things that we can't, as recently as 2 days ago, he told us at the economic development subcommittee meeting that I sit on with Allison Hughes, that he's working on something big. The bottom line is that we are somewhat challenged in Drake It relative to economic development. We need a home run, as I think Warren always says.
Yeah, he likes
says,
that term.
Know.
Yeah.
You know, we need a 50-story skyscraper to move into somewhere down and not even on 113 because right. the road structure won't handle it.
But then we got to buy new fire trucks to support that building.
Well, you know what? If we can get the tax revenue, then we'll worry about the fire trucks. And, yeah, and exactly. uh, again, And as Kathy talked about the town manager evaluation, you know, I was one of the persons that really, you know, Dennis Pindak was there for so many years, and they'd go to evaluate him, but it would happen like every five or six or 8 years, and the next thing you know, they'd give him an 18% raise, and it was like, well, we haven't actually done this. So I hope, at least if I'm fortunate enough to get reelected, that we look at the town manager every year. We evaluate the town manager every year as his employment agreement calls for.
Right.
And, you know, we had a little issue with, you know, the process of the evaluation being so subjective. And we were, like, all over the map relative to you know, his numerical markings. I mean, I'm the type of guy that if you're doing a good job and four is the best number I can give you, I'm going to give you a four. But there were some people on the board that said, well, you know what? I never give anybody a four. I don't care how good they are. Mm-hmm. So that's how subjective numerical markings are when you evaluate people.
All right. It's 7:32. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back on Saturday Morning Live.